720 WGN. Good evening, John Landecker. How are you? Stupid question, John. Considering the weather, of course. 8 minutes after 7 here at 720 WGN. I'm not going to dilly-dally any longer. I'm going right to the weather guy himself over at Channel 9, the producer for Tom Skilling, Bill Snyder's with us. Hey, Bill, how are you?
John, happy Tuesday. Good to talk to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, I'm beating the heat, and that's what it's about. But first of all, I have to say that I just heard Demetrius Ivory in our newscast say that there could be heat indexes of 115.
You know, it's possible, John. We actually, believe it or not, across parts of our area today, we had heat index values that that approached that level today. So it's this could happen again across parts of our area for a second day in a row tomorrow. Today, just looking at some of our stations, Burr Ridge, 115. These are highest heat indexes today. Burr Ridge, 115. Joliet, 115. Northbrook, 115. Man. Buffalo Grove, 114. Glen Ellen, 113. Chesterton, Indiana, 113. So, I mean, it was really steamy earlier today. And the good news is, if you want to call it a little bit of good news, if you don't like the hot weather, is that the humidity levels have come down just a touch from where they were earlier this morning and afternoon. So, yeah, it's hot, and yeah, it's humid, but it's not quite as oppressive as conditions were earlier today.
Well, let me apologize for my ignorance, because I didn't realize we already had heat indexes of 115. I didn't recall ever hearing that.
Yeah,
I mean, for Arizona, yeah, okay, or somewhere out there, where it's a dry heat. But
yeah.
I've never heard those numbers before for Chicago.
Yeah,
that's startling.
It's pretty extraordinary, and I mean, it's rare, John, but it's happened before on multiple occasions. But the thing that strikes me is just the fact is how unusual it is for this early in the season, because usually when we do get heat index values that may approach these levels, typically they occur later in July or even in some cases in August, because you have not only do you have peak water levels or peak water temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico, because to get that kind of heat index, you have to have a wind blowing it in from somewhere that's very warm, and that's from the south. And you import that tropical humidity right out of the Gulf of Mexico, and you marry that with our mature corn crops, and that evaporates moisture into the air. So you get moisture from the corn, and also in conjunction with moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and that's what typically produces our most oppressive levels of humidity that we see here across the Midwest and Corn Belt during the July and August period when the crops are at their peak. So to get it this early is really extraordinary. And John, this may be a harbinger of things to come. I did some climate work you and I chatted back in May when we had a stretch of hot days,
right.
And there's some correlation to when you get hot days in May, what may lie ahead for the summer. And if you don't like hot weather, you might want to cover your ears on this one. But we typically when we looked at the Mays that produced five or more 90-degree days, and we ended up having seven in May. The summers that followed went on to average 37 days of 90 degrees or higher, and we recorded number 8 officially today in the city at Midway Airport. So that's extraordinary. And normally a full summer sees about 20 or 21 days of 90. So to see 37, that's almost twice normal. And so we may be headed for a hot summer. And what's more, John, this is really extraordinary, is the temperature today at Midway Airport, it reached the big century mark, triple digits. And what's stunning about that is we have not hit 100 degrees in Chicago at either one of our metropolitan airports, O'Hare or Midway, since back in July 6th of 2012. It's been almost 10 years since we had 100-degree temperature. And the other stat that's just absolutely stunning here is that this is the earliest 100-degree temperature in Chicago since 1934, almost 9 decades ago, back in the Dust Bowl era.
Man, that is just an insane statistic. You know, you were talking about the humidity, and it has dissipated for a bit.
Right.
But yeah. I got up this morning, walked into the living room and all my windows were fogged up. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Right. No, yeah. That's when you know that you're firmly in tropical humidity.
Yeah.
When you see that at certain places or you know, stores or restaurants or houses where you see that condensation on the windows. I mean, that tells you just how humid it is outside.
You know, everybody in town and probably out of town knows that Channel 9 has by far the GOATs. They are the greatest of all time. I'm including you, Bill, in the weather department. And I got a text here already from Jack at 847. Tom and Bill and the rest of the weather team are fantastic! And it's true.
Well, that's very nice. And Jack, we appreciate it. And I'll tell you something. We got a good team back here, and we work hard, and we do our best to keep our viewers as up to date as possible. And I mean, we certainly had some wild weather last night, didn't we, John? I mean, out ahead of the hot weather today. That was a crazy bout of storms.
I didn't even know it was happening. I wasn't on the air last night. I was actually in Cleveland taking care of some business that I had to, and then started driving back. And didn't notice anything for, I don't know, 3 hours, and a half, four. And then all of a sudden, wow. And it didn't last long, at least in my neck of the woods. It was like on and off. But when it was on, it was intense.
It sure was, yeah. And this line of storms, you know, formed right along the near the Illinois-Wisconsin line out by Rockford. And it kind of blossomed there. And then from there, the storms moved southeastward. So they went through, you know, the heart of the city. They moved through O'Hare. They moved through Midway. O'Hare Airport, John, recorded a wind gust yesterday with that line of storms of 84 miles per hour. That's equivalent to a Category 1 hurricane.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's really extraordinary. And I mean, again, you know, people say, oh, you know, is this going to produce a tornado? Or, oh, if it's not a tornado, then I'm not worried about it. Well, you know what? These storms can do just as much straight line wind damage can do just as much damage as a tornado can. So, and it's certainly been prevalent across parts of the area that did get the storms yesterday. We've had numerous trees down and power lines. There was a roof torn off of an apartment building. I believe it was a senior complex in Maywood. And so, you know, it doesn't take a tornado to do significant damage. And we saw that yesterday. And, you know, the Weather Service actually sent out some survey teams to investigate where these storms hit. And I can tell you, John, that there was actually one tornado, an EF0, right in the Schaumburg-Roselle area. It was about 5 minutes in length. It occurred from 6:27 to 6:32 p.m. And estimated peak wind speeds in that one was 80 miles per hour. The path length was 2.2 miles, and it was only 25. The max width was 25 yards. So, you know, lots of tree damage. And, of course, there are numerous power outages. And, you know, that's what you fear. You know, when you're on the heels of what turned out to be our hottest day here in nearly 10 years, is the last thing you need is a line of damaging thunderstorms going through and knocking power out when people can't turn their air conditioner on.
Right. We're going to do more because he knows what we need to hear. Bill Snyder from the Channel 9 Weather Department will continue the conversation when we come back on 720 WGN. We're talking to Bill Snyder from the Channel 9 Meteorology University of Excellence. Listen, Bill, I got to tell you, I'm watching Channel 9 earlier, and Tom Skilling's doing the weather. And he comes, and he's going to throw it back to the anchors, and they do a little chit-chat. And it wasn't implied. It was Tom said that you love this weather and that you just assume work outdoors.
You know, there is some truth to that. I'm one of the probably in the minority here. I know, but that I do enjoy. You know, we get it so infrequently that when we do get it, the fact is you just have to be smart about it. You got to use common sense, and you know, it. There's no doubt that when you get the heat index to approach 105 degrees or warmer, that's you know, that's a level that's considered dangerous. And, you know, you have to take precautions and make sure you stay properly hydrated and you know, take breaks if you're exerting yourself outside. But I look forward to these hot days because we get them so infrequently. When, you know, we don't live in, you know, in Houston or Miami where you get this kind of level of right. heat and humidity that hangs on for 6 months at a time. Right. So I think from a meteorological standpoint, it's kind of fascinating. And, you know, when you get, like we said, we're talking about a temperature today that hasn't happened both at O'Hare and Midway. The O'Hare high fell just short. It hit 98 there and you know, of course, 100 at Midway. But in both sites, it has not been this hot in almost 10 years. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we don't get it that often. You know, right. So that's, you know, if you don't like the heat, there's that going for you. But, you know, there's no question that, you know, when it does get to this level of this breed of heat, that you have to take some precautions. And the fact is that, you know, people viewed hot weather is an inconvenience, but the truth is that if you just look at all of our weather hazards, that, you know, from floods to lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, and you know, extreme cold in the winter and snowstorms and so forth, John, you'd be surprised, but maybe you won't be surprised, but you know what our number one killer is of all of those weather hazards would be heat.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Heat. If you just look at the yep. last 30 years,
yep.
158 on average, 158 people die per year because of the heat, and the next closest would be floods at 88. So
you know,
it's not unusual. It happens. You know,
Hello.
Yeah.
Did we lose? Oh, you're still there.
No,
listen.
I'm here. Yeah.
I thought we dropped
it's
out.
It's not, you know, that's fine. Yeah, sure. So it's not that, you know, it's sometimes, you know, viewed as, oh, if you're complaining about the hot weather, you know, it's viewed as, you know, you shrug your shoulders and some people may look at us differently from a different part of the country. But the fact is that it's the number one killer when mm-hmm. it comes to, you know, the various weather yeah. hazards that we contend yeah. with.
You know, speaking yeah. of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Is there a part of the country that's not under some severe weather right now? Because I looked at a map and it looked like it was red yeah. all over.
Yeah, no, it's been an active period. You know, it's funny, that storm cluster that went through here yesterday, it actually held its strength and intensity, and it moved due south and even went into the Carolinas. And even this afternoon, what was still left of that complex of storms, and see what tends to happen, John, is you get storms that rotate. You get the periphery of the dome of hot air. We're kind of right in the center of it now. We weren't yesterday, which is why we did end up getting the storms, because we were on the northern fringe. But now that we're more into the heart of it, the storms tend to rotate right around the northern edge of that, and then they kind of go into a diagonal circle. So they start out in the left, and then they move due south. And so that's what happened with our storms that went through here, and then, as I said, went through the Carolinas, and then mm-hmm. This afternoon they kind of held together and went through parts of southern Georgia and northern Florida. And there's also another line of storms that's developing out in the Plain States, and this is in conjunction with a cold front. And that cold front will reach our area later tomorrow night. So we may be in line for another, hopefully nothing like what we saw yesterday, especially for areas that are still waiting to get their power back on. But we may be in line for another period of active storms later tomorrow night with a cold front that will usher in at first some drier air. It'll still be hot on Thursday. Now, we've got another intensely hot day ahead tomorrow, similar to today with temperatures in the mid to upper 90s. But Thursday, behind that front, after tomorrow night's storms exit, we'll have another hot day in the low 90s, but we'll do it with much lower humidity, and humidities will decline throughout the day. And then we'll drop from there to the low 80s on Friday. And then it's conceivable that lakefront areas may not get out of the low to mid 70s on Saturday with a little bit of a air-conditioned breeze from Lake Michigan. So if you don't like the heat, there is some relief coming, but there are signs that heat dome is going to expand back over us later in the Father's Day weekend period and into the middle portions of next week. So overall, the pattern is pretty warm, but there is a break coming if you're not a fan of the hot weather.
Bill, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll always be checking you and Tom for the weather from Channel 9. Thanks for being
absolutely.
On, Bill.
You bet, John. It's always great to talk to you. You take care.
Thanks, you too. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. He's Steve Dale on the phone. Steve, I told you there was a song called Rats in My Room, and as a special presentation, I have played it for you. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. I have never been so honored throughout my career.
Well, you know what? I think to a certain extent I owe you an apology.
To a certain extent what?
I owe you an apology.
Why?
Well, I was mocking your story about the rescue rats. Remember?
Yes, I certainly do. That is a highlight of my radio career. And now you mock it?
No, I don't mock it. That's what I'm saying. I mocked it then. Mock. But I'm not mocking it now. Because I printed out a story. Oh, as a matter of fact, somebody texted me the story. A new story.
You know, a new rescue rat story? I did not know this.
Well, allow me to
elucidate. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
In Marangaro, Tanzania. It doesn't have a... It only has one N in it.
Oh, well, it should be Tanzania, I think.
Well, maybe it's a misprint. British research scientist Dr. Donna Kern is training 170 rodents to be sent into earthquake debris to do vital work in finding earthquake survivors.
Mm-hmm.
The project has trained about 7 rats to date, taking around 2 weeks to get the rescue rats up to speed. And just as you said, Steve, the rats are sent into earthquake debris with tiny prototype backpacks that contain microphones, video gear, and location trackers. I know it's true, but it cracks me up. That's all I can say. But they're real.
Well, there's a new part of that story that you did not read that maybe you're not aware of, that due to the employee shortage, DoorDash has now hired rescue rats.
And are calling it Rat Dash.
Yes. Absolutely. I've got another story for you.
Oh, please, go.
It's not a rat story. It's an amazing story, but can we talk about how to keep our pets safe in hot weather first, and then later I can talk about that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Whatever you want to do. Take it away.
So you walk outside. It's kind of warm outside. That's an understatement. And you wipe the sweat off your brow, and you think, boy, it's hot outside. Well, if you're having trouble keeping comfortable in weather like this, your dog is having at least twice as much difficulty. Dogs are not very adept at cooling themselves off. People are. Perspiring or sweating is a really efficient way to keep cool. However, dogs only perspire a little bit from their paw pads and even a little less, but some, from their tongue. Ugh, but they do. And that's what panting, in part, anyway, is all about. So dogs that have, especially the dogs that look like they walked into a wall, they call them brachiocephalic breeds. So the Shih Tzu, even a small dog like the Shih Tzu, for sure, the English Bulldog, the Pug, the French Bulldog, some of the Pit Bull type dogs. I can go on and on. We know what those dogs, you know, the Pekingese, all those dogs with pushed in faces. They have limited airways. So in this weather, even walking around the block is something probably you should not do. Also, just as older people have difficulty in this weather, WGN reports all the time, check on your older neighbors, right? Well, check on your older dogs, because they're going to have difficulty in this weather as well, as dogs that are overweight or obese will have specific difficulty. But all dogs will. So for people who say, oh, my Labrador loves it, we play fetch, I don't care if it's 90 degrees. Well, dogs are dogs, and some dogs are going to keep doing it anyway. But if you see that tongue kind of hanging out of the dog's mouth, the dog isn't really panting, but the tongue is just like hanging there, and the dog just looks exhausted,
That's a sign of oncoming heat stroke. Get the dog in the house and air conditioning, even better, as soon as possible. Some dogs will actually collapse of heat stroke, and now you've got to visit the emergency vet.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, what about cats? But maybe it doesn't apply.
Well, cats and, you know, in general, yeah. Small dogs are better at keeping cool, and cats are as well. Now, the cat should be indoors anyway. And you know what? I once gave this speech, a similar speech, to Uncle Bobby Collins years ago. And I loved his dog, Booger. Loved Bob Collins. He helped give me my start at WGN Radio. But as I was talking, he said, well, what the hell? You know, I grew up with dogs. They were out all the time. Well, yeah. Dogs are not, this isn't your great grandfather's dog. These are dogs that share our air conditioned homes. Right. They share our bedrooms and probably our beds. Mm-hmm. And they are not accustomed to this. And in fact, leaving a dog, by the way, out in the backyard in weather like this is downright in many places illegal.
Right.
It's just, that's animal abuse, actually. Right. And should not be done. Now, walking on asphalt is something we don't think about because we don't do that, but our dogs do. So whatever the air temperature is, it's at least. So if it's, let's say, 85 degrees and sunny, midday asphalt, I don't know. I need to ask you this question, by the way. Is it, and you're an expert and a Hall of Fame broadcaster, so you would know. So is it asphalt or is it asphalt?
Well, every Hall of Fame broadcaster
knows
their ash from their ass. That's for sure. It's asphalt. Now, it's fun. It's ironic that you should bring that up.
Yes.
I had my dog on a leash briefly just to go outside to do the business, and my mailbox is right next to the pavement of the street that runs in front of our house. And as I got up to it, I pulled the leash and I said to my dog, don't, you know, stop, stay there, don't step out on that pavement. Because I realized that the pavement itself, if the weather in the air is what it was today and tomorrow, pavement is unbelievably hot. And you can imagine what that would do to a dog's pad, the bottom of their feet, if they were to spend any time at all on that asphalt.
Totally right. So if it's 85 degrees and sunny, and it was warmer than that today, the asphalt midday will, will exceed 150 degrees.
Right.
So that's going to, if you can't, the rule of thumb is if you can't keep your hand palm down on the pavement or the
asphalt,
for 5 seconds, then your dog really shouldn't be walking on it. And, you know, oftentimes dogs do burn their paw pads. Veterinarians do see that. But what they don't see are little minor burns that are really incredibly uncomfortable that we don't notice are there. And our dogs don't complain about it. They don't tell us they're there. But we don't want to do that to our dogs, you know. So you're right to be aware of that. And the time of day even that you're going out. Now, it seems common sense. But people sometimes don't have that. So if you go out at all for a walk with your dog, do it in the morning. Earlier in the morning, the better. Or after sunset, bring water with you for yourself as well as your dog.
You know, I saw a lot of footage on the afternoon news today. Locally, people at the beach and the dog running into the water, blah, blah, blah. But a dog running into water, that doesn't cool a dog off, does it?
Well, it does.
It does?
It doesn't? Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they absorbed. I thought it was basically through the length of the tongue, not necessarily. Well, I guess I'm wrong. I guess jumping
into
the
if you pour cold water on a dog. Now, if your dog, by the way, is beginning to show signs of heat stroke, do not toss your dog into a pool or a bathtub filled with ice cubes. Don't do that. That is shocking the system. But in general, diving in the water, just as it cools us off, will cool a dog off as well.
Okay.
Now, for some dogs, that's wonderful. But for a pug, don't do that because they'll sink like a rock. So it depends on the dog we're talking about. And I'm concerned about swimming pools, really. So if you have a swimming pool and a dog falls in that happens to be, say, a pug or a French bulldog that will sink like a rock, they don't swim, really, by and large. I mean, maybe 1 out of 1,000, but these dogs don't swim. They're not your Labradors, so they can drown very quickly. So the other problem is there's got to be a way out. We forget that sometimes. So even a dog like a Labrador or a Newfoundland, they cannot swim forever. So if they don't have a way out of that pool, even the Michael Phelps of the dog world are in trouble.
We're talking to Steve Dale, and we'll do some more after the break on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker, thanks for tuning in. It's 852 with Steve Dale. Steve, before the break, well, earlier on in this fantastic interview that we're having, you said you had a story. Yes? Steve?
Yes?
You said you had a story
yes.
earlier?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You yeah. can hear me, I hope.
Yes, now so I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, good. So they say the hearing is the second thing to... Anyway, I do. I do have a story. I apologize. So two stories, really. One very briefly is another concern regarding summer, and that's it has to do with rats. It's called leptospirosis. Rats carry, as do many other animals, this bacterial infection, and they urinate in a large body of water. It can be Lake Michigan, or it can be up...
I do the same thing.
Well, hopefully you don't have leptospirosis, however.
No,
or it can be... I'm not going to swim in Lake Michigan again. But it can be in a retention pool. It can be in a puddle. And then your dog goes to lick from that puddle or pool or Lake Michigan. If your dog, or even steps in it and then licks paw pads, if your dog is not protected against leptospirosis, then your dog can get this potentially very, very serious disease. You should ask your veterinarian about vaccination, particularly with Novavax Edge Lepto-4 vaccine that covers 4 serovars, which gets really technical. But the good news is your dog can be protected, and the bad news is if your dog isn't, this is something we could potentially get, and it's something we don't want either. So, So here's the story that I knew. You know, when I came across this story, I thought John Landecker is the one person who would understand this story and maybe explain it to me better than anyone else.
Okay.
So a man was staying in Sarasota, Florida. He was on a pathway near the motel he was staying at, and he saw what he thought was a dog in the bushes. Now, if I see a dog in the bushes, I'm going to go say hello to the dog. And that's what he went to do. But he didn't see any leash, and he didn't hear any barking or growling or anything like that at the point that this dog, he said, "Hi, puppy." At that point, the puppy bit him and seriously bit him. Well, it turns out the puppy was a 7-foot alligator, and it
Holy
did some damage
cow.
To his leg. Now, yes, it's true that. So he told police officers when they came, he said, "Well, the alligator didn't bark or growl." Well, I don't think alligators do that. And it was the first thing they did was test him for alcohol. They thought, okay, he clearly was inebriated. That's what the police said, but he wasn't. The sheriff's department, actually, they said he wasn't. But the sheriff's department did suggest after he gets out of the hospital, which he did after a couple of days, that he go see an optometrist for a new pair of glasses.
Now, what am I supposed to clear up?
Well, you have expertise in all these matters.
I don't
like
have any
you did with the rat story.
Oh, please. Well, okay. My advice, don't stick your hand in a bush when you don't know what's there. How's that?
I like that. That is actually very, very good.
Yes,
that should
on
be
so
a
many
quote.
On so many different levels. Steve,
yes.
Dale, Steve,
yes.
Thank you for being with us. Once again, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I look forward to the next time that we are together here on the airways of the WGN.
Well, perhaps fortunately you've run out of time, but in any which case, it's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve.